gay marriage, recreational marijuana, and a $19 living wage will be voted on this weekend as a part of the state Democratic Party platform. As we continue on the campaign trail, we'll talk with a guest political scientist about the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's annual convention coming up this weekend. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 7:37. We welcome Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker, to join us now to preview the Democratic Party's convention, which is June 6th and 7th in Wisconsin Dells. And we welcome your input, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mordecai, good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what about this Democratic Party platform that will be that's up for debate at the convention? Do platforms matter anymore?
I think the correct answer is yes and no. Yes, they matter because in America, parties matter. The Republican Party is the conservative party. It expresses conservative values. The Democratic Party is the progressive party. But on the other hand, sometimes you have party activists. Like, I remember you and I talked before the Republican convention, and mm-hmm. we talked about the resolution dealing with secession. In both parties, you have people who are sort of farther ideologically than the center of the party. So when we talk about Republicans, we talk about the Tea Party being farther right than the establishment. In the Democratic Party, there are liberal activists sort of from the from the more liberal tradition, who are more to the left than the center of the party. And I like the list that you presented to the audience, that a $19 living wage is higher than most people are talking about. And talking about gay marriage in Wisconsin would mean repealing the existing constitutional amendment or getting a court case to do it. And legalizing marijuana, even though it's occurred in two other states, is not a common phenomenon in America. So We're seeing this play out almost like a mirror image of the Republican Party.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out that we did preview some of the issues before the Republican convention, too. Glad you could join us to preview the Democratic convention. Let's talk a little bit. So if these resolutions to legalize gay marriage, legalize recreational pot, call for a $19 living wage, if they are in the party's platform, does that mean that the party's candidate, say Mary Burke, is supposed to take those positions?
Well, that's one of the reasons that Wisconsin electoral politics is a little different than some other states. We have very weak parties in Wisconsin. In fact, the electioneering business is almost like an entrepreneurial business, because we don't have parties recruiting candidates and saying, you're the person and we endorse you in a primary and we don't want anybody else to run. That does exist in some other states, but not so much in Wisconsin, especially not in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And so on the one hand, it would be relatively easy for her to shrug off an element of the platform that she disagrees with, for her to say, well, that was the platform of the organized Democratic Party. I am not the organized Democratic Party. I am an independent candidate running as a Democrat, and here's what I believe in. And vote for me or vote against me based on what I believe in, not based on this document. But on the other hand, there have been instances in politics when a platform made a difference. The most famous example goes back to when President Nixon was running for re-election in 1972, and he ran against George McGovern and what they called the San Francisco Democrats on the slogan of acid, amnesty, and abortion. It was a very sort of memorable catchphrase, and because some Democratic activists were in favor of things like amnesty and abortion. And so Richard Nixon was able to capture that platform and use it as a wedge issue against George McGovern.
Interesting. Very briefly, if we can, legalizing marijuana, Mary Burke has said that this policy is out of line with the opinions of state residents. So that's, I guess, her stand is not for the legalization of recreational pot. Not necessarily going to hurt her standing with Democratic-leaning voters?
I doubt it would hurt her standing with Democratic-leaning voters. But on the other hand, you might find some of the independent spending groups who support Republicans, or even the campaign of Governor Walker, who perhaps want to make an issue of it. In other words, to put her on the defensive, to force her to say again and again for the whole fall, I do not support, let's say, legalized marijuana. And in politics, there's a phrase, if you have to explain, you've lost. So they might see this as an opportunity to put her on the defensive. But on the other hand, it's so unpredictable in politics what has traction, what sort of catches and what doesn't. It could be that they might make the accusation and it'll be a thud, and they would have wasted, let's say, I don't know, $500,000 on advertising that had no impact whatsoever. So, in part, we're dealing with the unpredictability of public opinion.
Yeah. Now, this resolution supporting a $19 living wage, how do you expect that might go over? And if I'm not mistaken, Mary Burke does support raising the minimum wage to, you know, $10 an hour or something along those lines.
Well, certainly you're facing with a situation that I think might be slightly different than the Tea Party. In other words, if the Tea Party is unhappy with a Republican nominee, do they just sort of sit it out? If they think a Republican nominee is not conservative enough, do they just stay home? Or do they accept that, well, you know, a half a loaf is better than none? The phenomenon of the Tea Party we don't see quite as strongly in the Democratic Party. So let's say that Mary Burke says, I'm in favor of increasing the minimum wage to X, but I don't support, let's say, if this resolution passes, I don't support $19 an hour. The question is, are there significant numbers of very far-left voters who would stay at home and not vote because they'd be unhappy about that? At least based on sort of what's above the surface, I tend not to think so. Generally speaking, my impression is that Mary Burke has a very firm relationship with the establishment of the party, and that she's going to try to sort of muffle this platform in the same way that I'm sure the Republican establishment worked hard to muffle that issue of secession that we talked about a couple months ago. In other words, she'd prefer to have a platform that's much more moderate, because I think then it would fit in her campaign strategy of sort of being the no-name Democrat, the sort of vanilla Democrat, who almost with a campaign slogan, I'm not Scott Walker. So I suspect she would want a non-controversial platform.
Yeah. The same-sex marriage bans are being struck down by federal judges at a pretty good clip lately. Even Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen suspects Wisconsin's ban is going to be going down. Do you suspect that there is some posturing here with the Democrats and will probably vote yes on this legalized gay marriage resolution this weekend?
Well, we have to remember that sort of in politics, we as the voters want to know where candidates stand. So, for example, the possibility of repealing the existing constitutional language in Wisconsin that bans gay marriage would be a cumbersome process. The Democrats would have to control two sessions of the legislature. I think it's unlikely that we would ever see repeal in the near future. But on the other hand, we as voters, we'd like to know, where does Scott Walker stand on gay marriage? Where does Mary Burke stand on gay marriage? Regardless of the actual possibility of repealing it formally. And of course, there's a possibility that a court might rule against it, as you mentioned about what the Attorney General said.
Yeah. So how do you see the gay marriage issue playing out in the gubernatorial race?
You know, this is really interesting. This might be something close to a Democratic wedge issue. Republicans are so skilled; they're so fabulously talented at sort of using wedge issues to peel off voters who generally vote for the other party. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to mention Nixon's thing about acid amnesty and abortion. It got those sort of blue-collar ethnics to wonder if they really still belong to the Democratic Party. So here's a situation. Might the issue of gay marriage be an issue that would be similar to what Jim Doyle used when he was running for re-election, when he talked about the ban on embryonic stem cell research? And that apparently peeled off some sort of suburban soccer moms who otherwise would vote Republican because they're conservative on financial issues. I'm really wondering, Jory, you might have really put your finger on something here. It could be that gay marriage will be that kind of a wedge issue, because when you look at public opinion, it's moving very fast to accepting gay marriage. I mean, it's moving stunningly fast. And so for Scott Walker, there's a tactical and ideological issue. Does he say, in face of this sort of wave of public opinion, I have my principles and I don't change them based on, you know, putting my finger in the air and seeing which way the wind blows? Or does he start softening his position on gay marriage because he is afraid that it might be have the possibility of being a wedge issue?
Yeah, I also wanted to talk about some other issues before the Democratic Party convention this week, and they did not invite Brett Halsey, a possible candidate. It looks like a probable candidate for governor. There will be a primary now on the Democratic side between Mary Burke and Brett Halsey. He was not asked to speak at this convention. Is this unusual?
That might be a tactical misstep by the people who control the party, because now he's going to get a ton of publicity as he sort of stands out in front of the convention center and says, I'm being suffocated, I'm being gagged, this is unfair, whatever happened to the Democratic Party treating everybody equally. It probably would have been better for them to say, we will give, let's say, I don't know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, to any Democratic candidate who's on the ballot, whether there's a primary or not, for the top races, and then just sort of let him do his a few minutes and then forget it. So it's possible they'll change their minds. I think it would be tactically a mistake to give him a platform by denying him a platform.
We're talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, getting a preview of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's annual convention that's coming up this weekend in Wisconsin Dells, and talking about some of the resolutions that are up for debate, and talking about some of the races that are shaping up. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to On the Campaign Trail. This is a new segment every Thursday at this time. We are going to be digging into the issues shaping the elections this year, elections 2014. Right now we're talking about some of the issues before the Democratic Party convention this weekend with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. And our first caller is Cody in Oshkosh. Hello, Cody.
Hello there. I just wanted to contrast the two-party platforms. The Republicans like to think of themselves as small government, yet all of their, most of their platform positions restrict freedoms and rights, where the Democrats are trying to expand them. They're trying to give rights to gay Americans to marry. While the Republicans want to take them away, the Republicans are trying to take away voters' rights, workers' rights. They've gotten rid of unions. It goes on and on, where the Democrats are trying to expand the rights with the marijuana laws and whatnot. I think that's a much better way to go.
Thank you, Cody. Well, Mordecai, do you think the Republican Party would characterize it like that?
No, I don't think they'd characterize it like that. But what I liked about Cody's call is he presented us with a perspective that, in a sense, we don't hear from Democrats. That Democrats tend to be relatively defensive on so many issues, and we tend to think of Republicans as presenting the voters with a coherent framework of their conservative values. Here, Cody, in just a few seconds, was able to present a kind of a paradigm of what the Democratic Party stands for that we generally don't hear. And then we have to wonder, why is it that we don't hear it from Democrats? Are Democrats so poor at messaging and wedge issues compared to Republicans? And for all we know, Cody might be onto something. It could be that this is a kind of a new packaging of what Democratic philosophy is that could tend to have traction with voters.
Thank you, Cody, for the call. Elise in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Elise.
Hi. I would like to hear what Professor Lee has to say about the small d democraticness of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. My understanding, I used to be a party activist when I was in college, and I'm really was turned off by how not small d democratic the party operates, and how unrepresentative the representatives of the party, the board of the state party are of the people of Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee.
Yeah, what do you mean by they're not small d democratic, Elise?
I think there's a lot of making decisions behind closed doors and not really involving everybody in the party.
And you're talking about the formal party, not just voters who identify Democratic.
Correct.
Yeah. I guess that one example might be, Mordecai, the what Brett Halsey would call the coronation of Mary Burke.
Right. That's a good comment. It sounds like Elise was active in the Milwaukee County Democratic Party, the formal party. I liked your point where you ask her that. And that apparently a decision on an issue that she cared about or on a kind of a strategy she cared about was made by perhaps the chair of the party or maybe an executive committee, and she felt that it wasn't democratic. Generally speaking, in Wisconsin, the formal party, the party that exists between elections, tends to be pretty minor in terms of power and influence and budget and size. I'm not sure what she's referring to, but generally speaking, we do expect both parties to have an elected leadership and for the elected leadership to implement whatever the party's values are, and then, in a sense, to get reelected by the party members or to be defeated. And it sounds like Elise has an interesting story where it did not happen that way.
Thanks very much, Elise, for the call. Meanwhile, state Democrats this week are praising Governor Walker. That's right, praising Governor Walker. He is asking the state's GOP to not send people to private Democratic fundraisers without identifying themselves. Apparently, a Republican intern went into a private home in Waukesha and shot video of her conversation with Mary Burke. And Governor Walker said that crossed a line. any reaction to this story, Mordecai?
Well, I think this shows us how much that we as news consumers are missing, because this is a phenomenon called tracking, where one campaign sends a volunteer to the other campaign's public events and tapes everything the opposing candidate says in the hopes they'll make a mistake. And the most famous example was George Allen, a U.S. senator from Virginia, where he used the phrase, I think it was like macaca or something like that, some very odd phrase that apparently was a synonym for dark-skinned people. And that sort of became the end of his campaign because it was such an awful comment. Now, here we're talking about tracking that's not at a public event where there are hundreds of people, but the allegation that at a private function, I think it was at the home of Larry Nelson, the former mayor of Waukesha, that a Republican volunteer misidentified herself as a supporter of Mary Burke, and then I believe it was sought to ask Mary Burke a question in front of the rest of the audience and sought to videotape it or use her phone to tape it. What I thought was missing from the press coverage is what was the question? Because presumably the question is the wedge issue that Republicans hope to use against Mary Burke. It would be interesting to see it. But I like the fact that Governor Walker and hopefully the Democrats will from now on in believe in tracking, where if somebody is asked, what party are you with, that they say, I'm with such and such a party or such and such a group, that they never secretly engage in taping. Because I think we as Americans and Wisconsinites want sort of fair play to be part of campaigns.
You know, we talked a lot about primarying on the Republican side, where more conservative Republicans were challenging moderate Republicans in the election. We just talked to Sean Johnson about the deadline for candidates to turn in their signatures this week to get on the ballot. And the one surprise, he said everybody was surprised that former state lawmaker Gary George is challenging Congresswoman Gwen Moore for the U.S. House. What do you make of that?
One has to say this is a bit odd, and I say that with due respect to Gary. Gary and I served in the state Senate together. We know each other. Apparently, Gary is trying to make a comeback after having been convicted. I really am skeptical that there's any sort of groundswell of opposition to Gwen Moore. So presumably, this goes back to what I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, how entrepreneurial the campaigns are. Candidates are self-starters. They decide to run for office. The party doesn't control them. I suspect presuming that Gary stays on the ballot after the GAB looks at the nominating petitions, that he just won't do very well. But nonetheless, primaries are healthy because primaries tell us where the party supporters stand and what they want the party to stand for.
Well, I wish we had more time. I have so many more questions. But aside from the party platform stuff, what do you think might be the most interesting thing to come from the Democrats' convention this weekend?
What I'd suggest we look at is how do the Democrats try to define the Republican Party and specifically Governor Walker? Because that'll tell us what is the issue that they think will have traction. Or are they really trying to run a vanilla campaign with, in a sense, no issues? We're not Scott Walker. We're not Republicans. That'll be interesting to see.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. The Democratic Party convention is June 6th through the 7th in Wisconsin Dells. And I know we have plans to follow up on what happened during our state capitol report on Monday morning. Stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk with the author of Kidding Ourselves, The Hidden Power of Self-Deception. And tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk with a guest business professor about why college degrees do not necessarily guarantee that blacks will get jobs or financial prosperity. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.